Glory to God. Somebody asked me once, you know, I was going to church when I was, probably in my 20s. You really like going to church? Because I was excited. I said, yeah, I love going to church. I mean, I am going. You know, we had Wednesday night services and Sunday night services. Sunday morning services. This is when I was in Lincoln, Nebraska. And I just would look forward to go to church because what was I, you know, I was involved in a lot of stuff, but I knew I was going to get impartations by the Spirit of God, by His Word, that was going to be relevant for me, that was going to bring me up to the next step in my walk, and I loved it. And I was talking to this person, well, you know, really, you're not just doing it out of, because you think you have to, no. Because when you come, knowing who God is and knowing that He is going to minister to you, that's a different thing. That's not religion. That is supernatural. That is it getting, you know, spiritual impartations to your heart. There's nothing like it. Only God can speak to every heart where each person is. Take the word. Make it personal. Say things to your heart that I didn't say physically, but the Spirit of God quickens it. It is spiritual food. The Bible says we will live not by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Father. Hallelujah. His word is eternal. Let's go ahead and we've been in a series called Grace to the Humble. We had the anniversary last week, and then we didn't have service the week before because of the gas explosions. So, been a little bit, but Grace to the Humble, that's the series we're in. James 4, 6. You can go ahead and put that up on the screen. James 4, 6. Let's turn there. James 4, 6. James 4, 6. It says, He gives more grace, therefore He says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Let's go back to verse 6. It says, He gives more grace, therefore He says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Now, you just read that sentence. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Doesn't take somebody with a really, really high IQ to ascertain which group we want to be in. Do we want to be in the proud group or the humble group? We want God resisting us or getting grace from God? We want the grace. That's ability. That's favor. That's everything we need to do what we need to do here on earth. Turn back to 1 Peter 5. So if you just go a few pages ahead, 1 Peter is right after James. For 1 Peter 5, verse 5. First Peter 5, verse 5 says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Everybody said, He cares for me. He cares for me. Back in verse 5, it says, yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. Now stop right there. We're going to get into some things here. But notice there it says, be clothed with humility. Well, we'll come back to that. It says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. For he cares for you. So we've touched on a few things, kind of introduced these areas, pride and humility. We talked about pride extensively, just gave some examples and went through some scriptures, the effects of pride. Not good things. And we talked about pride and humility, some different aspects. We're going to touch on that today. And then talk about some specific aspects of humility. Let's go back. Since we're here in 1 Peter, go back to the verse 5, like I was mentioning. It says, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. And to be clothed with humility. Let me ask you a question. If you are clothed with something, another verse says to put on humility. Well, if you put on something, let me say, if you put on, you know, a pullover, a sweatshirt, do you know you have it on? If the Bible tells us to be clothed or to put on humility, shouldn't we know if we have it on? See, some people have a misunderstanding of what humility is. They think a person that's humble they're not aware of anything. Oh, they're just so humble. Humility, we ought to know when we're being humble. Does that sound foreign to you? See, that could sound foreign to our current culture because people have a wrong idea of humility. Humble is like you just don't think anything of yourself. You don't think you are good at something or that you're knowledgeable as something. You're kind of, in one sense, just unaware. You're so humble that you're just unaware of what's going on because You don't think much of yourself. That's not what the Bible says is humility. The humility is something that we can know if we're being humble. We can know if we have this on, if we're clothed with humility. Humility is not weak. Humility is strength. Humility displays trust in God. See, in this age, in this, the culture of the world, the way humility or being humble is perceived as weakness sometimes, as you don't have enough strength to stand up to other people. You're humble, but it carries this connotation of, you know, kind of mousy. Humility is not that at all. Humility is strength. Jesus himself is our example of this. Humility is submitting ourselves to the will of God. Humility is doing what he said, the way he said to do it, when he said to do it, how he said to do it, regardless of what we think. A truly humble person will say about themselves what God says. A truly humble person is honest. If you ask them if they're good at something, see, the way people think of humility in this world is a humble person will never say anything good about themselves. Now, boasting is another thing. Going out just broadcasting and getting out there and telling everybody about yourself, that's one thing. But if somebody were to ask you, if you know about a certain subject. Some people have the idea, if you're humble, you say, oh, no, I don't know anything. Well, what if you do know something? And they're asking you, do you know such and such? A humble person is honest and will give the honest answer. Yes, I do. Now, you could say, I don't know everything. But if you know a good deal, if somebody asks you, and we do this, you know, when you're interviewing somebody, just to get an idea of how people are going to respond and kind of what's behind their thinking, you might ask them to rate themselves in a certain skill. Of course, you're not going to take the word. You're going to ask them questions. But, you know, up on the front of the process, you might have a, before you get into the technical part of some interview, you might ask like a screener or something might just say, you know, to rate them, ask them to rate themselves. Well, you know, if they're good at something, to rate them, well, I don't know anything, you know, I'm a 2 on a scale of 1 to 10. That's not going to help them. And if it's not true, why would you say, that's an untruth. Well, I don't want to be proud. Well, but then you're saying something that's not true. But on the other hand, if somebody rates themselves a 10, that can show, wait a minute, you think you know everything there is to know? There's always room for growth. But just because you rate yourself an 8 doesn't mean you're wrong. A humble person will acknowledge the truth. And you know what? Sometimes it is hard. It is harder on your pride to say something good about yourself than it is just to follow society and just say, well, yeah, I don't know anything. For you to actually to stand up and say, yes, I do know something about that, because you can be afraid of what other people are going to think. Well, they'll think I'm in pride. You are in pride right now because you're worried about what they're thinking. Well, I don't want them to get the wrong impression. So what, you're going to give them the wrong impression by saying what's not true? Right? Well, I just don't know anything. But you do know something. No, humility is not this idea that people have sometimes in the world, that it's this weak, don't say anything good about yourself, don't know anything, never going to, you know, put yourself out there for anything. That's not humility. In fact, it can be exactly the opposite. A humble person can put themselves out there when they know other people may not think they should be there. But God said, do it. God said, say this. And a humble person will say, sir, yes, sir. A proud person may say, what are they going to think of me? I can't do that. That's pride. But people will say, well, you know, you shouldn't say, they would think that's humble. Well, no, I don't have the ability to do that. If God told us to do it, if God told us to do something, how many of you think we ought to do what he said to do, that he's right? Go back real quick to James, flip back a couple scriptures, a couple pages back to James 4:7, then we'll get into some things, but wanted to read this before we go on. James 4, we'll read the verses we just read, 6, James 4:6. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God. God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. And then he says, therefore, submit to God. Well, he's saying, because God resists the proud, gives grace to the humble, therefore, what? Submit to God. That word, submit, it means to place or arrange under. It means to put under. When we're submitting to God, we are putting ourselves under Him. We are ranking ourselves under Him. That, therefore, if He said it, that means we're going to do it. If He said it, submit means, okay, I'm going to put myself under what you said. He gives grace to the humble. He resists the proud, gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to who? God. He resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit yourselves to God. Submit yourselves to what He said, what He told us to do, what He said about our situation. You know, in any area, submit, array ourselves or arrange ourselves under. What does that mean? He's right. What if I don't think I'm qualified? He's right. What if I don't think I'm good at something? He's right. What if he says, you know, you shouldn't be doing it? What if we think we're good at something and he tells us not to do it? He's right. Wait, I got a natural ability. He told me not to do that now. Who's right? Pride will say, but I can do this and step out. That's pride. Pride goes like this and puts itself in the face of God. What happens then out of verse 5? We're going to get resisted. It's not that God cannot bless that. On the other hand, we may think, I've been doing this for all this time. I'm good at this. And God said, lay that down. Do this. Humility will say, yes, sir. All right. We're not doing that now. We're going to do what you said. Pride will say, but I'm good at this. I'm not good at what you're telling me to do. That's pride. Humility will say, okay, you don't want me to do that right now. All right, we'll put that aside. What do you want me to do? Oh, you want me to do that? I have no ability to do that right now. You want me to do? Okay, yes, sir. Humility. Humility will put itself under. Put up Proverbs, don't turn here, but put up Proverbs 18:12. We read a lot of scriptures along this line. Not going to go through those. You have to listen to the earlier messages, but I just wanted to read one. Proverbs 18:12. Before destruction, the heart of man is what? Haughty. Pride. Proud. That's pride. Before what? Destruction. But before honor is humility. So the attitude that, well, I can do it, I know what to do, I know best, God, I don't care what you said, that's pride, and that's going to lead what? To destruction. But, Lord, you told me to do this, you said this in your word, I don't understand, but yes, sir, that's going to lead to honor. Put up, please, Isaiah 14 real quick. We went over this, but let's just look at this. This is the epitome of pride. Satan. Isaiah 14. Can you go? Do you have 12? Yeah. How are you fallen, or how you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations, for you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest pit, lowest depths of the pit. This is a picture of Satan. Lucifer. Who was Lucifer? He was so full of pride that he exalted himself against the Almighty and said, I'm going to take him out. Now we know, you can see that from afar. That is not a good idea. We recognize that as pride. But anything that looks like that, that would say anything against, contrary to what God said about us in any area, is pride. And on the flip side, when we do what God told us to do, when we submit to His Word, when we submit to His structure, when we submit to His Spirit, we are humble. Those are the two sides of the cord. Humility is not weak, it is strong. To say, God, you said it, I bow my knee. It is actually weaker to be in pride. It's easier on the flesh. It takes strength to put that under and say, God, not my will, but yours be done. Luke 22:41. We'll go ahead and just put that on the screen. You don't have to turn to this one. It says, he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw. This is talking about Jesus. And he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Nevertheless, not your will, but, or not my will, but yours be done. This is our example. This is the Christ, the Lord. He himself said, God, I do not, my flesh does not want to do this. If there's any other way that we can get this done, let's do that. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. This is humility. This is our example. Jesus bowing himself to God the Father. Philippians. Let's go over to Philippians. Go ahead and turn over to Philippians 2, verse 5. Philippians 2, verse 5. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Can you go back to verse 8? It says, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. Notice that. He humbled himself. Like we said earlier, if we're to be clothed with humility, We ought to know when we're being humble. If you have to put on something, you know when you have it on. You know when you have it off. It is not pride to understand and to realize when you're walking in humility. Jesus humbled himself. He put himself under. He is the Son of God. He is God. Yet he came as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient. He put himself under and said, I will do this. God, the Creator, was there at the creation, comes to earth and ranks himself under the will of God, the Father, on this earth. Put himself under and walked on this earth with men criticizing him, mocking him, and he is God. But he ranked himself under and said he's going to walk humbly. And what that did that lead to? Next verse, it says, and he being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those in heaven and of those on the earth and of those under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He humbled himself and God exalted him. He humbled himself to the point of death and God exalted him so that every knee should bow at the name of Jesus. This is the pattern. This is what we ought to do. What God has told us in His Word, by His Spirit, spoken to our hearts for our lives, regardless of what it looks like, regardless of how we feel about it, regardless of what we think we should be doing, humility will put itself under that, and that is the way to honor. Throwing it off is the way to destruction. Number one, if people will not submit themselves to the salvation that is by the Lord Jesus Christ, that will lead to destruction. If they say, no, I don't believe in Jesus. No, I will not, I don't need a Savior. No, I don't believe in a God. That is pride. It is not submitting itself to the will of God, not submitting to the Word. Well, I have to understand such and such, and God has to prove myself or prove himself to me. If he's real, why doesn't he show up and do X, Y, and Z? That is pride. God does not owe any man an explanation to do anything. He has already shown himself. For a created being that's been here a few decades to tell the Creator that has been here forever, you need to do something to show me. What? It's the grace of the God that you're not wiped off the face of the earth right now. Somebody like that. Because we live in an age of grace. It's the blood of Jesus. God, the Bible says, God has reconciled all men to himself, but they have to believe. The payment has been made, but if they don't cash in, there is going to be a price forever. And it's not God that's sending them there. It's people's stubbornness, pride that says no. People make comments. You've heard them. I mean, I don't think I've ever actually heard somebody say this. I've heard people talk about this, but quoted. All my friends are going to be in hell, so we'll just have a party together. You know, I don't care if I'm going to hell. You know, I'll just party. It isn't going to be a party. See, that's putting it off like this doesn't exist. It's real. Part of what we're called to do is to share that with people. No, it's real. There is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. This is not a game. Well, I just don't care. No, you're going to care. People need to understand. But that's pride. Jesus gave himself. He showed the example. The Christ, the King, the Almighty came to earth and walked around with the created beings and submitted to being crucified by them because that was the will of God. Now, when we're walking out our life on this earth, our job is to be like Him. Well, that's beneath me. What? If there's anything that was ever beneath someone, it was Jesus coming to earth. Do you know how much of a, you know, change that was? To be born as a man. This is the Creator. And our flesh will, you know, buck at something God asks us. Well, I don't want to do that. Well, Jesus didn't want to go to the cross in his natural self. He submitted himself. He was humble. What will humility do? God, whatever you want me to do. Yes, sir. Sir, yes, sir. What do you want me to do? Well, I thought I was pretty good at that. But evidently, I'm going to do what you have called me to do. You don't want me to do that? I'm going to do this. Yes, sir. That's a humble person. Well, wouldn't you know if you're doing that? You know you can see humility in somebody else. It's not, oh, I stink at everything. It's, how can I help? You're part, you, a humble employee? What can I do to help? What do you want me to do? Oh, you want me to do that? Okay. They tell you they don't like the way you're doing it. Okay, how can I change it? A prideful person said, what? And our flesh wants to do that. Our flesh wants to, you tell me what I'm supposed to do. What? You're not doing everything. That's pride. That will not gain us favor. Well, I'm better. I know more than the boss. Yeah, everybody knows more than the boss. Yeah, we've heard that. It's amazing that everybody knows more than the boss and the boss and the boss's boss. They all, you know, some people think they're all morons. It's just the people that are, you know, quote unquote, doing the work. There's a lot of work to get all those people to do the work, let me tell you. Right? That is work. No, there. It's amazing. That attitude is so pervasive that nobody's going to tell me what to do. We got to watch that. Nobody's going to tell me what that is. What that is devilish. That's what Satan said. Nobody, including God. I'm going after God. I'm going to take him out. See, that is pride. That's not like Jesus. Jesus, all powerful, comes in the form of a man as a baby. And he laid down his power and he walked as God. He walked as a man anointed by the Holy Spirit. He's 100% God, 100% man, but he walked and he did what the Lord, what God the Father would have him to do. Let's look at, go ahead and don't turn there, but put up Hebrews 5, and we're going to turn to John, but Hebrews 5, verse 5. Hebrews 5, verse 5 says, so also Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest, but it was he who said to him, you are my son, today I have begotten you. As he also says in another place, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and was heard because of his godly fear, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. You don't like that. We don't want to talk about suffering. We don't want to talk about obedience. I'm talking about in our flesh. But notice this is talking about the Lord. He learned obedience by the things which he suffered, and having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all those who obey him. Isn't that interesting how it put that? Obey. Called by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. Obedience. When it says he learned obedience, again, now, I'm not a Greek scholar. These are notes from, you know, different people that are. It says means that word. It's from the words that mean under and to hear. It signifies attentive hearing, to listen with compliance, submission, assent, and agreement. It is used for obedience in general, for obedience in God's command, and for Christ's obedience. So can you go back to verse 8? When it says he learned obedience by the things which he suffered, that means attentive hearing with compliance, submission, assent, and agreement. That means somebody that's listening saying, I'm listening for a command. What do you want me to do? I'm listening. You tell me to do something, all right, I'm going to do it. That is humility. That is ranking under. That is saying, Lord, what, I'm your servant. What do you want me? Yes, you're your son. You're a son or daughter, but there's a serving too. I am under you. What do you want me to do? Oh, you said this about me in your word. Okay, that's it. Oh, but I just don't understand. Nope, you said it. You said it in your word. You said I'm forgiven. You said, we've been talking about this on Wednesdays. If I messed it, the Bible says that if I'll confess my sins, he's faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Well, that's it. I did that. I put it behind me. It is gone. Yeah, but I just don't feel forgiven. He said it. That's it. I acted on it. Submission, a humble person will say, I don't care what I feel like. What he said is right. Humility has a lot to do with faith. A humble person will walk in faith. You have to. If you're doing this, you're trusting God to take care of you, because if you were going by what you see, you don't see how this is going to work out. Your mind may not understand what the Word of God said, but a humble person has said, well, he said it. He knows more than me. Here we go. It will work. I will go on that path. I will agree with him. I'll say what he says in the face of contradictory circumstances, because he knows more than me. I will submit myself to him. That's humility. That we should know when we put on humility. It's not a mystery. If we're submitting to God, then we're humble. If we're rejecting him, we're in pride. Doesn't matter the issue. Anytime we say, God says something and we say, yeah, but, then we know we're in pride. Yeah, but I just don't understand. Yeah, but I don't know. You don't understand how good. I don't have any experience in that. You don't know what they did to me, etc., etc., etc. Pride, pride, pride. Humility will say, God said it, that's it. All right, here we go. God said this is the way I'm supposed to act at work. Okay. God said this is the way I'm supposed to treat my spouse. All right. This is the way I'm supposed to parent. Yeah, but they have all these books that say it's different. If the Word of God said it, it works, and that is it. A humble person will say, I don't care if I don't understand it. I don't care what people say. This is the Word. This is what the Creator said. Hallelujah. John, turn over to John. We're going to read a number of scriptures in John. Actually, I think we'll just maybe introduce this part, and then we'll wrap up, because we could get into this. Glory, glory, glory. John 4. Yeah, we'll go to 27. It said, at this point his disciples came and they marveled that he talked with the woman, and yet no one said, what do you seek, or why are you talking with her? The woman then left her water pot, went away into the city, and said to the men, come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came to him. In the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. Therefore the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him anything to eat? So they're thinking natural. Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. To finish his work. Skip down to 5 verse 30. It says, I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. Jesus said that. I can of myself do what?
Nothing.
Nothing. Jesus said, I can of myself do nothing. Jesus, the Creator, the Almighty that came to earth, he said, I can do nothing. Of myself, I can do nothing. God in the flesh But he was not walking as God. He was walking as a man anointed by the Spirit. If Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ, said, I can of myself do nothing, where does that leave you and me? We can do some stuff apart from God and with our own strength. Well, we can do some stuff, but like it says in Psalms, unless the Lord builds the house, they that build it labor in vain. Can we do stuff in our flesh? Yeah. Is it going to be the right stuff? Not necessarily. If it's just in your flesh, it will not be. A humble person will say, I can't do anything either. If Jesus can't do anything in and of himself, I cannot do it either. I need him. See, the world will say, that's weakness. The world will say, you're needing a crutch. You can't do it of yourself. You need, something in your mind to think something else is helping you, but really it's just all in your head, and if you just, knew how to believe in yourself, then you'd be okay. No, a humble person would say, I am created. There is a creator. I am not him. I am a created being, and I need him. And that goes smack in the face of normal culture. If we're not careful, Even something that sounds good, like, I can do it, you can do it. Believe in yourself. Now, we need to change that. You need to believe, but it's in the context of submitting ourselves to God. Not I can do anything that I come up with. I can do whatever he tells me to do. Then I kick into, yes, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Because you told me to do it, and I'm saying, sir, yes, sir. Don't see how, don't see, why that's the best idea, but you said it. All right, here we go. Now I can do it. That's a lot different than saying, I came up with this idea, and I'll tell you what, I'm going to get it done. I'm going to set my goals, I'm going to have my schedule, I'm going to be disciplined, and I will get it done. Because you know what? I'm awesome. Well, I mean, you could say that's maybe better than somebody going around thinking I'm just stupid, but they're both pride. They're just different sides of the same coin. But you got to watch it, because having confidence in yourself is not a good thing according to the Bible. No, we need to be like Jesus. Jesus is our example. He said he could do nothing, so we need to understand we can do nothing. We don't seek our own, but we seek the will of the one. He said, I seek the will of the one who sent me. We ought to say, I'm not here to do my own business, right? We are citizens of heaven. We are not our own. We've been bought with a price, and we are here to do whatever he said. He said it, okay, I'm there. He said it's a good idea, okay, it's a good idea. How are we going to do it? I don't know. I'm relying on him, because I can't do anything of my own self. That's humility. And what does humility lead to? Honor. In the kingdom of God, doing what he said is the way up. Amen.